Hey, how are you, my friends? This episode of the show is brought to you by Indochino. And if you're going to get a suit, you might as well get one that makes you look good. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, they make shirts, coats, and more, and it's all made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Indochino's process is simple. You choose your fabrics, and they've got some good ones. If you've seen my Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. Then you pick your customizations, like the inside liner. I got some really bright ones. Or you pick a cool phrase to go on the inside, like a monogram. My last one said, to be the man, woo, you got to beat the man. Yeah, on the inside of my suit. It's a great party thing. Like, everyone wants to talk about it at parties. You also submit your measurements on here. And then 2 weeks later, boom, your suit arrives at your door. And right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout. Plus, shipping's free. So that's Indochino.com. The promo code is BLUEWIRE, and you'll get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. That's an incredible deal for made-to-measure custom clothing. Now you really have no excuse not to wear clothing that doesn't fit. Now hit the intro of the show. Justin Roberts, bring it on.
It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show.
Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Well, here we go, my friends. Welcome to another audio adventure on the Chris Van Vliet Show. This episode's brought to you by Indochino, ShipStation, and Harry's. And let me just say, we have a ton of interviews to end the year with. I know we're dropping these on Thursday. That's the scheduled date, but I have so many that I've done in the last week or so, and so many that I have to do in the next week or so, that we're going to be dropping these a lot. So please make sure you subscribe because they're all good ones, especially this one. John Moxley. And man, does he have a lot to say. I really enjoyed hearing him speak his mind. And man, there's a lot of stuff that we cover here. And hey, thanks for subscribing to the podcast so you don't miss out on these. Thanks for reviewing them. It's been so helpful, and it's so crazy to see, at least on Apple Podcasts, the Chris Van Vliet shows in the top 20, along with like Stone Cold and Talk is Jericho and Jim Ross, Taz, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. So cool. So thank you so much for helping out. And man, we're just getting started. We're only 5 months in to this podcast thing. So we're just getting started. I love seeing these reviews. And since they help the show, I'm going to keep reading them on the show. And hopefully you'll keep reading them. Nick Gray, 32, says, breath of fresh air. Been listening for a few months now and been watching on YouTube as well. Really like the willingness to ask real questions that real fans want to know. Keep it up. Well, keep up those reviews. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thank you to Samson for the mics and the audio equipment that we use to make the show sound as good as it does. You can head to samsontech.com. You can see their full lineup of stuff there. And thanks, as always, to Green Roads for supporting the show. And I know you hear a lot about CBD products. A lot of other podcasts are talking about CBD products. But Green Roads is the only CBD company that is pharmacist-founded. And someone tweeted me the other day asking, does Green Roads have THC in it? THC, by the way, is that thing in cannabis that gets you high. The answer is no. Green Roads does not have THC in it. If CBD oil is made properly, it shouldn't have THC in it. And it shouldn't be, you know, giving you those effects of getting high. A lot of CBD products, though, are not made properly. And the hemp extraction process, without getting into too many details, is not done correctly. Green Roads, though, I said they're a pharmacist-founded company. They have the lab results to back up their stuff. So if you're going to try a CBD company, you might as well go with one that has pharmacists that are behind this one. The benefits are really wide-ranging for me, though. Using some CBD oil really helps kind of take my brain from, I love this reference, from like a 16-lane highway down to like a much more manageable 4-lane highway, and really to focus your thoughts. It also helps with recovery after the gym. The relax gummies are great, and so are the topicals, like the muscle and joint relief cream. That's really helped with any sort of pain or muscle or joint discomfort there. This stuff is the real deal. And if you want to try it out, use my code CHRIS15 and you'll get 15% off their products at greenroadsworld.com. Greenroads.com. Once again, it's Chris15, and you'll get 15% off, 15% off at Greenroadsworld.com. John Moxley has made such a statement since debuting in AEW back in May at Double or Nothing. He also made a big statement when he appeared on Chris Jericho's podcast and spoke his mind about his time in WWE and all the things that he didn't like there. I asked him, how much backlash did you get from doing that interview with Jericho? So you'll hear his answer here. It's very interesting. I also asked him, do you still keep in touch with the guys from The Shield? We dig into that. We dig into his interest in these hardcore matches like the insane lights out match he had with Kenny Omega. We also talk about how his wife slash WWE employee Renee Young feels about those matches and how it was actually her that led to him signing with AEW. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. It's John Moxley. All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Totally, man. You are my final interview of the day, so I don't know what you're going to get. Either I'm in the zone or I'm just saying complete nonsense.
Wow.
Or it could go one way or the other.
It's either going to be the best interview of the day or the worst one.
Yeah. Or this is where I say stupid stuff.
Oh, well, this could be great then.
Yeah,
it could be real good. It was crazy. I was thinking about this, that yesterday was 6 months to the day that AEW started and, you know, that you made your debut. How have these last 6 months been for you?
I've been pretty good. Been quite a hell of a ride. I've been super busy lately, the last 6-8 weeks especially. I kind of overextended myself, my own schedule. And I don't have anybody to blame for it or to complain about it because it's my own fault. So like I was filming this movie and that finally just got done with that. So I kept having to go back and forth from TV. So I like barely been home, and now coming here a day early to do all this media. So like, which is part of the job. But sure. So I've been pretty busy. You know,
is this the movie you talked about on Talk Is Jericho? You were talking about making a movie with the guy who made the trailer for your debut.
Oh no, that's a different project.
Okay.
We're trying to make the greatest action movie of all time.
Is that one still happening?
Yeah, well, it's in the works right now.
Okay.
We got some people kind of lined up, but that's kind of a fantasy thing. See, I'm not trying to like, I don't really consider myself an actor per se. If something comes along that's like perfect for me or that just seems like fun, because I would do movies for the fun of them. Like I would, like the fight choreography and stuff is what's fun. And like, I would almost just rather be the stunt guy and not even worrying about being in the, you know, being in the movie. And I'll just do the fight scenes and stuff because it's fun to do.
Sure.
So if something like that pops up, cool. But I'm not going to be like pounding the pavement, beating on doors, trying to like, I have no aspirations to like take on Hollywood or be some kind of Hollywood guy. But this, like make our own movie from scratch. That's interesting to me. Like, oh, like we write it, make all the decisions, all, you know, that's interesting. It's kind of still kind of a pipe dream, but it's could be a reality. So, you know,
take me inside Vegas Double or Nothing. I was there and I think JR summed it up best, that the roof came off that place. What was it like for you standing, you know, in that entranceway, getting ready to go through the crowd? What was that feeling like for you?
A little surreal. It's pretty just kind of focused on what I was doing. It's fairly relaxed. Just kind of surreal to be in a full arena like that in front of, but it was different promotion. It was, the whole thing was just a little surreal. It had just been a weird kind of surreal few months. So that was a great moment for me because it was just kind of like a release of like, finally you can just relax and I'm back and here we go and we're off to the races. So, because I'd been just kind of silent for months and months as these rumors came out that I was leaving or whatever, and I didn't say anything, and there was a bunch of, it was really awkward the last few months there. It was awkward. And nobody in the locker room didn't even know. People would be like, is it a work? Are you really leaving? What's going on? Are you leaving? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I just kept my, I didn't tell literally anybody anything. Even when I first was going to leave, you know, AEW wasn't even a thing yet, you know, so.
Did you have a plan when you were going to leave, where you were going to go after that?
Not exactly, just wherever the wind blows. Definitely Japan. Mm-hmm. independence. You know, I know I was kind of just I was scanning out the scene, but pretty quickly the AEW thing kind of came along, and it was still top secret. And I was like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty sick. All right. But, I mean, I was kind of scoping out the landscape, see where I would end up or whatever.
Yeah.
But just, and, you know, then I did the thing with the video, and then I had to just kind of stay silent for a few months. I went into radio silence. I went into hiding. Didn't even answer my phone, nothing, because I didn't want any, maybe I would answer my phone. My mom called me or something. But I wanted people to wonder, like, is he going to show up at Ring of Honor or Impact or AEW or New Japan or WWE, mm-hmm. or is he gonna come back? Yeah, I wanted people to have no idea, and I think it was pretty effective. And then, but the payoff to the video ultimately was pop out Double or Nothing, and everybody instantly got it.
Yeah.
They knew of John Moxley now. They were chanting my name, not like they weren't chanting like Shield or anything. You know, like it was just a totally fresh new start instantly. Out of the gate.
Yeah.
We're off to the race. And AEW is now off to the races.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, just the timing of it all was just crazy. Just serendipitous timing.
As awesome and as great as Jon Moxley is and everything that's going on with Jon Moxley, is there anything about Dean Ambrose that you miss?
Nothing I didn't take with me. The parts of that character, so to speak, that were good are still with me, you know. So,
although it seems like it's turned up to 11 now.
Not really, yeah. I'm having fun, man.
Yeah.
Just kind of. There's no. I think the cool thing is nobody in AEW has any kind of buddy they have to answer to. As far as like nobody's. Being unencumbered creatively. I've used that word three times today already because I keep getting asked the same questions. And as the first guy says, is that word unencumbered? I think it is. Nobody, like, everybody can just be whoever they want to be, do whatever they want to do, whatever different style or presentation or whatever it is, whether it's Darby Allin or Orange Cassidy or the Lucha Brothers or me or whoever. There's not like, they like this. You don't have to go into the office and pitch, can I do this thing I want to do? Like, you can just pretty much just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're just running around doing whatever we want, but kind of, because just nobody's feeling like, everybody's just feeling totally free. I was describing it earlier, like, it's almost like, Dynamite's almost like one giant jam band session because it's everybody's kind of collaborating together and working together, and everybody's throwing out different ideas for stuff that's not even their stuff, and everybody's got different, especially when you get a bunch of different people in the same segment working together, kind of like that big brawl we did at the end of the night the other night. And the goal for everybody's goal is to just make them be standing and cheering at the end of the night and have a great show. That's kind of all anybody's worried about. So, and everybody's just kind of riffing and going along and being in the moment and being creative and going like, oh, you do that, I'll do this kind of thing. It's like this, it's like a fish concert or something, you know?
Except way better
because I do not enjoy fish concerts.
Even when you went into the lights out match, was there anyone going, you know what, John, that might be a bit much?
The opposite.
Oh, my God. They said, bring it on?
Yeah, the opposite. I would have never. See, I am unapologetic about my love of whatever you want to call it, the death match style, the hardcore, whatever. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite matches ever are like Big Japan death matches. I understand most people are going to think that's crap and that they're not going to want to watch that. I love that stuff. But there's a reason a lot of those promotions and stuff, even ECW, was kind of a niche promotion.
Sure.
Because a lot of people just get turned off by all the excessive gore and so forth. Although I make no apologies that I like that stuff, I would never foist it upon anybody else. It's not like I walked in AEW and was like, look, I'm doing... every match I have, is it gonna be crazy
barbed
wire? This is being brought to me. but I'm like, we can do that, really? Like, I would have never imagined that we'd be able to do stuff like that. But in this scenario, it was a lights out match. We've been trying to, he's been stalking me with a barbed wire broom, which I'd never seen before, for weeks. When we started this whole thing, I threw him off a 15-foot giant stack of poker chips, nearly killed him. So it was, by the time we got to the full gear, we're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get two super creative guys, two artistic guys, no strings on them, and you put them in the violent aesthetic, and you're going to get, like, you, the match kind of took on a life of its own. You know, I was thrilled with it. I was thrilled with the reaction in the arena. I was thrilled with the people that were uncomfortable.
Okay, your wife didn't seem very thrilled about it.
She'll get it, though. You know, it's you sign up when you get married to me. You sign up that you're going to be under a fair amount of stress sometimes. Sometimes I'm going to come home and I just fell down the side of a mountain.
So I
some
mean,
days I'll come home and I will be bludgeoned with barbed wire. You know, I.
Well, we saw
this is just how I live my life.
We saw the tweets. What did your texts look like when you got, you know, backstage after that match?
Oh, you got a call immediately after that. Okay. Yeah, just to be safe, you know. I don't need no heat, you know.
Yeah. Well, we saw the effects that that match had on Kenny.
But but my wife does know. The thing, I'm not I'm for sure not trying to get hurt.
Sure, you know? Like,
ever. So, you know, that, you know.
We saw the effects it had on Kenny, the black eye and multiple wounds in the back. What residual effects do you have from that match?
I mean, the same to death kind of, I mean.
Do you have a bunch of scars on your back?
Yeah, but they heal up pretty nicely. If, okay. You know, there's little, see, I just have like, millions of like little let's see, I got my millions of little ones.
That's from that match?
No, this is just from years of this stuff. But they kind of heal up well, the way you don't notice them unless you, like, I got bigger ones on my back and stuff, but like,
it's just a barbed wire wedding ring tattoo.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess it's barbed wire.
Kind of looks like barbed wire.
Well, see, that's a light tube. See how that's a chunk?
Yeah.
See, I'm not really into that because those take chunks out, and that's just a little one. Yeah. Barbed wire just gives you little mini ones like this. See, like, that's not bad. Those actually kind of look cool.
Cool for your profession for sure. Yeah, yeah. I had an interview with Jimmy Havoc recently, and he was showing me all the scars that he has. Maybe you guys should, you know, have some sort of match together.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be real interesting. I feel like.
I mean, for sure.
Man, what a chat with John Moxley so far. Gotta hit pause for a second to thank our sponsors. And this episode of the show is brought to you by Harry's. And if you're looking for a great gift for someone in your life this holiday season, perhaps that someone in your life is you, forget the cliche gifts like socks or a wallet or a tie. Harry's is a gift that's both thoughtful and practical. And listeners of the Chris Van Vliet Show are going to get $5 off any Harry's shave set by heading to harrys.com/bluewire. Free shipping, by the way, ends on December 16th, so you're going to want to act now. This is a great gift idea, and it comes in a very nice-looking holiday gift box. You don't even have to do any wrapping if you don't want to. I don't like to do wrapping. This is perfect. This is exactly what I'm going to get. And your gift gives back, by the way. 1% of each sale is going to be donated to charitable organizations. So, as a special offer for fans of the show, I partnered with Harry's. They're going to give us $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/bluewire, and you'll get that free shipping until December 16th. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle with the option to engrave that to make this even more special, 5 blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, and it's packaged in that nice holiday gift box so you don't even have to wrap it up. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just go to harrys.com/bluewire. Once again, that's harrys.com/bluewire. The show is also brought to you by ShipStation, and the holiday rush is here, so you have to be able to get those orders out quickly, ship them out efficiently and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders and decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're getting the best rates? Well, ShipStation.com can help you. Just a few clicks and you'll be managing your orders, you'll be printing labels, and you'll be getting all the products out the door and you'll get them delivered in time for the holidays. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including UPS, USPS, FedEx, and you can compare and select your shipping solutions to make sure that it's the best thing for you and for your customer. It's no wonder ShipStation is the number one choice for online sellers because you ship more in less time with the best rates available. So take the hassle out of holiday shipping this year, okay? Let ShipStation handle it all for you with ease. Use my promo code BLUE, B-L-U-E. You'll get a 60-day free trial. So that's 2 months of free, no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Yeah, just visit ShipStation.com, click on that microphone at the top of the page, and type in BLUE, B-L-U-E. That's ShipStation.com. Enter the offer code BLUE. ShipStation. Make ship happen. Well, if we looked back at the last 6 months, where do we look ahead 6 months from now? You know, do you have plans for where John Moxley wants to be 6 months from now?
Not particularly. Because I think right now it's still so new and so week to week. And we're basically 8 weeks in. If you kind of count it that we started on October 2nd. Say you're a new fan who discovered us and tuned in our first episode.
Yeah.
We're only like, what, 7, 8 weeks in? So it's still super new and super fresh. So we're going to kind of have to see how everything shakes out. That being said, you know, there are a lot of long-term plans and a lot of simple, effective, long-term booking that, you know, we're going to stick to, you know, that. So, you know, a lot of it, you know, I'm not going to spoil any of it, but, you know, I think, but I just want to be 6 months from now in the same kind of headspace I'm in now, which is like, just kind of, I don't want to waste any time or spend any time in a negative in any kind of negative headspace, because I'm like the luckiest guy in the world. Life has been so good to me. I get to do what I want to do for a living. I'm pretty much operate autonomously as a true independent contractor. I get to be involved in this AEW at its birth, and get to, and it's so exciting to be here. Part of this is like, we're finally bringing a true mainstream wrestling alternative that we've wanted, that the fans have wanted for so long, and the hunger is there for it. And like, these fans are really driving the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's their energy that's really, like I said, it's like a big jam session on Wednesday night. They love Orange Cassidy. They love the Lucha Brothers. They love everything. They love the women's wrestlers. They love everything from the last match of the night to the first match of the night. They're there to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not there to heckle anybody. You know, they want to have a good time. And the AEW fans are just so great. But to go back to your question, I just want to appreciate and live in the moment of like how fortunate I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of pay that forward and do what I can do to, because you are in a bit of a responsibility when you, you know, I always took that kind of seriously in WWE too, is like, you kind of feel like a responsibility to people once you kind of become a guy in that kind of, now, you know, kids are kind of, whatever word you want to use, like looking up to you, idolizing you, whatever. You gotta think about that too. If that makes any sense.
No, but it makes sense.
So
yeah.
I just want to just enjoy life and live in the moment, every moment, and just get to really be aware and cognizant of the fact that, like, I am the luckiest guy in the world. Mm. You know, I have literally everything. The greatest wife a guy could ever want. I have I'm in the great place in my career. I still have my health, hopefully a bunch of years ahead of me. And I just want to really just be grateful and be happy for all the, and I just want to live in the moments, you know, and not be, not worry about anything.
Yeah.
And just play the music that I want to play, you know?
Yeah. You were very open when you were on Talk Is Jericho about, you know, what had happened in the past. After that episode aired, did you have any sort of backlash from WWE?
No, I expected that. I expected it to be way worse.
Huh. Like, did Vince call you up or someone from the office call you up?
No.
Really?
No, we got nothing. I'm just, I guess, I mean, I assume I'm just kind of persona non grata there now, which is fine. But I just felt like I did everything right on the way out. I gave my body to that company. I did everything right. I was a model employee for them, but I also had to eat a lot of shit. And I think it was more than fair to at least just kind of like tell my side of the story about some of this stuff, just so that now we can start fresh.
Sure.
Which we did at Double or Nothing exactly 6 months ago, as you said, and right. Now we're here. So, yeah. I mean, that's like, that seems like, that was 6 months ago, but that seems like a million years ago. Like, I'm not in the same, I was real jumpy and all, like, because, you know, I was still in hiding. That was before Double or Nothing. It was a couple of days before that we did that show. Now I'm just like in a totally different headspace, man. Couldn't be more chilled.
I imagine if we look back to the time you were in WWE 7, 8, 9 months ago, how different is the person sitting next to me now versus if we were to have a conversation back then?
I just felt like I had a lot of weight on my shoulders back then because I was still like so far from the finish line that it was just a lot of just like, and for the first, like once I decided I was gonna leave, I wasn't like happy about it for a while. I was pretty pissed about it because I'm like, are they really gonna make me leave? Are they that? They're gonna make me leave, aren't they? They're gonna fuck everything up so bad that I'm like, I wanted that fucking money. You know, it's not like I don't like money. I like to put it in the bank and look at it. You know, but I was like, I can't believe they're gonna make me walk away with most money. They can't you write one good fucking storyline?
You coined such good shit out of this though.
Yeah, like
yeah,
it just got so. And I don't want to keep going. I've talked about it ad nauseum, like, but it just got to the point where I'm just like, the stuff I described in the Jericho book, it's just like, oh, now you'll come out in a hazmat suit. Right? It was just like, this can't be real. Am I on some kind of reality show? Is this the new WWE Network reality show? Is Vince actually saying these words? Does he actually run a $1 billion company? This is a joke, like, but.
Did it make it particularly tough that your wife is employed there, seemingly doing really well there, and you're gonna basically go, hey, I'm gonna go do this other thing?
No, made no difference whatsoever. Mm. She couldn't have been more, she was like, you know, cause before, I mean, way before, you know, I'd be like, ah, screw it. Maybe I'm just going to Japan. I'm not going to resign. She'd be like, good. Don't. Whatever you want to do makes you happy. I'm like, good. Maybe I will.
Because Sean Spears was in a similar spot. You know, his wife works there. And
yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's going to happen over the years as AEW, you know, continues to grow and, you know, stay around in the game. I'm sure situations like that will arise all the time. I even asked her before I did the Jericho show. I was like, is there anything you don't want me to say? And she said, no, say whatever you want. And I was like, okay. So, like, she didn't give a fuck. She's untouchable. She's completely irreplaceable, you know, in her spot, you know. So no fear of reprisals, you know.
Yeah. Do you still keep in touch with the Shield guys?
You get in a bubble, you get busy. I mean, not really. Not so much. A little bit, you know. Text Roman a little bit here and there, but he's super busy, you know. I mean, he's so busy in the bubble and stuff, you know, and I'm busy too, you know. So
you said, you're busier than you've ever been.
Yeah.
That's did you ever think that you'd be part of something like this? We had all the options on the table when you were going to leave WWE. What made AEW the best option for you?
Well, a lot of it was just a lot of it was the timing. And a chance to really not just do the things that I want to do, but like change the business and really be a part of this thing that really does create a viable alternative, because I can be a difference maker here. And it's like almost like I had to, you know, what this was. It was like the universe. It was like Double or Nothing, the timing of it and everything. It chose me, you know.
Because when your contract was up?
Yeah, just that, and even that it was in my hometown. You know, there was just like there were all these signs pointing, and I'm you know always had good relationships with a lot of the guys here that you know got me that I first started talking to, and I was like, all right, you know, I said, here's what I'm thinking. This is what, because I was like, okay, what are we doing? What's the goal here? Like, see what, I want to assess it out. And I was like, I loved everything they said about every, from the business kind of plan to the ideas to the way we're going to do stuff to the creativity aspect of it or whatever. I get, and, you know, I was like, okay, there was no reason to not jump on the boat and take this journey, man. Like, and a lot of other people would have, you know, swam back to the island, but I'm like, fuck the island, man. Like, let's go. Let's find some new territory, you know?
But from the outside looking in, you could go, that sounds really great, but are you guys really going to be able to deliver on all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, but what's the worst that could happen? It's a failure. So what? You know, like, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because either one of the many startup companies who's tried and failed to, you know, and to gain a foothold and be successful, or maybe it's the exact opposite, and maybe we take over the entire world. Who knows? You know, maybe it's a new wrestling boom renaissance, and it's, which is already kind of starting to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have an, I mean, man, just the opportunity was just so good to be a part of this that I was like, I'm in. Did not take me long. I mean, I jumped in pretty head first.
And are you still doing stuff in Japan?
Yeah, I'll always, as long as I'm wrestling, I'll still wrestle in Japan.
Okay.
And that's another cool thing about AEW is that guys can kind of do other stuff outside of AEW. There's, you know, everybody's a little different things they want to do. But there's guys wrestling in Mexico. There's guys, you know, wrestling in Europe. There's guys doing other stuff on the side. I mean, because we're not doing that, you know. It's not the schedule's a little different, and you don't have to run everything through everybody to get everything approved. You know, like if you want to do a movie on your off day in WWE, you have to like ask permission. To, you know, but like now you can just. I mean, everybody's maybe a little different, but I can pretty much do whatever else you know, want to do, whatever kind of itch I want to scratch creatively or do with my free time, you know, I can do. So it's a, but also it's weird because I was never really comfortable being home because I never really had a home. It was always like on the road or different town or couch surfing or whatever before WWE, and then, you know, like obviously the last however many years in WWE is on the road however many days a year. Pretty much when you're home for 36 hours a week for years on end, you just get used to being on the move. So like if I'd have a few days off, I'd start to feel weird.
Where you're at now?
No, that's what I'm getting.
Okay.
So like I'd start to feel weird if I was home for more than a couple of days. Like, oh man, I got to get on the move. Like, and then you get back on the road and you feel comfortable again. You're like, okay, you want to be in a different town every night. So it took me a minute to adjust. But then I had that full month of just being home. And I got a hell of a taste for it now. I was like, ooh, this is great. I'd be with my dogs every day. Getting, you know, just getting a training recovery schedule, sleep in my own bed. You get more out of your workouts when you're not on a plane and going back and forth to different time zones. You can get stuff done around the house and keep my garage. I got a gym in my garage. I can keep it clean. The stuff's not around, you know. I can fix the hose or the whatever's broken in the yard, you know. I can just enjoy my house,
right?
And go up the street and have dinner with my wife or whatever. I'm like, I really got a taste for just regular living at home existence where I was like, ooh, I like this a little too much. And then I've kind of put my foot in the gas pedal stuff and was, you know, in Japan all summer and so forth like that. But I think now I'm looking at it because now I have a little bit more control over what I want to do with my time. you know, as we get into 2020 and starts winding down a little bit, you know, I might really keep the, might just be like, just do Wednesdays and that's it for the rest of the year. Just don't call me for anything. Like, if you're even thinking about it, don't bother calling me. I'm probably going to say no.
Unless you become the champion, then you're on that champion schedule.
What's a champion schedule?
No, you're at every event. You're doing every promo. You're doing all that stuff.
I already am.
Well, then you can't just do Wednesdays.
That's all we do, except for the pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, the pay-per-views, and then there, I guess, appearances.
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
Basically, things are pretty good for John Moxley.
Yeah, very, very much so, yeah.
Well, I think this is probably the time we should wrap up. So thank you so much. Last interview of the day.
Yeah, okay. So I'm drained of all brain energy now, fully.
That's it?
You got whatever was left in there.
This is it. Everybody just got it. The last of John Moxley's brain right there.
Yeah, yeah. So now I got to take a nap and try to work out.
Recharge.
Or just slam a giant coffee. I haven't decided yet.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. Do you have any great advice you want to leave the people with?
About what?
Whatever. I mean, you're someone who's basically was in a situation they didn't like, said, I don't want to do this anymore, and now you're doing something that you love every single day. I think that's inspiring to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, no matter what walk of life you're from, you know, whatever, no matter whoever you are or wherever you're from, man, you should try as much as you can to just live life for yourself, I think, and not try to live it the way other people say you're supposed to or whatever. And that's real generic advice, but you know, it's real easy to get caught up in other people's expectations. And just like, you, if you're from a town and you know there's just so many people that, you know, go to school and then they go to college and then they get a job because they're supposed to, and then they get married, and then 10 years later they're divorced and they hate their lives and their kids are drug addicts and everything, and it's like they don't have, and then they have to restart over from scratch because they never worried about what they wanted. They did live their life for other people, you know. Or even in like in wrestling, a lot of people, they want to accomplish the things they're supposed to want to accomplish. Which I don't really think that's a good way to look at it. You know, you should, if you do this and you're blessed enough to do this for a living, you should do it for yourself. Mm. Not because like, oh, I want to win 37 titles or this or that or whatever, because that's all just kind of like bullshit. You should do that. You should play the music you want to play the way you want to play it. Be the thing you want to be that you love, you know? Because if, you know, I heard a quote the other day, because I was looking at this interview from Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
He said a couple cool things, but one of them was just like, he was talking about playing music, and he's just like, you're not playing it for anybody else. You're playing it because you think it's good, and you're just in a room playing it by yourself or whatever, and if other people think it's cool, sweet. But he's like, you have to love it. If you don't love it, how can you expect anybody else to love it? Mm. You know? So just do you the way you want to do you, you know? That's all that you should worry about.
It's great advice.
This is a terrible interview. I apologize.
No, that was great.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much.
No, totally, man.
Appreciate you. All right, there you have it, my friends. What a chat. That's John Moxley. And he has so much to say. And he, from the looks of things on AEW Dynamite these days, may be the next AEW world champion. Now, that interview is so worth the five-hour drive to Chicago to do it. Yeah, five-hour drive from where I'm based right now in Cincinnati to Chicago. Did an interview with John Moxley while I was there. Also did an interview with Santana and Ortiz. That's a good one. You're going to want to be watching out for that one. So make sure you're subscribed. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a screenshot, tag me, tag Moxley. Let us know. Let everyone know what you thought of this conversation. I feel like there's a lot of stuff in here to dissect. I mean, I just listened to it again there, and I'm like, man, there's so much there. And good stuff, I think, for him, this being his last interview of the day. We did it at 1 p.m. Central Time. And I would have to imagine that he was doing it. He did a lot of interviews that day in Chicago with a lot of local press there. So I would have to assume his day started at 5 or 6 in the morning doing radio and TV interviews. So that's a pretty solid interview for him, like 7 or 8 hours deep into that one. I really appreciate that. I appreciate his mindset and his outlook on life and on his career. And I it's only been 6 months, like we talked about in the interview. So I can't wait to see what happens 6 months from now, 6 years from now. And I'm going to leave you this quote here that from Henry Ford, which I think is very applicable to what Moxley talked about in this interview, and you know, certainly applicable to a lot of different aspects of your life and career. He says, "Don't find a fault, find a remedy. Anyone can complain." There you go. So Thursday, yes, there will be the usual interview on Thursday. So keep an eye out for that. Be subscribed if you're not, or you should subscribe, because if you're not subscribed, you won't be finding out about these interviews. So I will see you on Thursday.